All right, everybody, I'm Logan Alec. I'm a CPA, and this is my update for Monday, January 18th. It is, of course, Martin Luther King Jr. Day, which is a federal holiday, so it is a pretty quiet day up in Washington. But I did want to focus on one interview yesterday on Fox News Sunday, in which Chris Wallace interviewed incoming White House economic advisor Brian Deese about Biden's stimulus plan. Deese will basically replace Larry Kudlow as the director of the National Economic Council. So this guy is basically the new Larry Kudlow. So just like we would like to hear what Larry had to say about stimulus in the past, we want to pay attention to what Brian Deese has to say about Biden's stimulus plan. So basically, Chris Wallace was pressing Deese about Biden's stimulus proposal. Here's the first clip.
Let's drill down on specific parts of the package. You are calling for another $1,400 direct payment to the vast majority of Americans. There's criticism. Why not target it just to those people who've actually lost a job? There are a lot of people who will get the $1,400 on top of the $600 who've been doing just fine and haven't been hit by COVID. And then there is criticism from conservatives that you have snuck in a liberal wish list into this package. Let me put some items on the screen. $20 billion for public transit, $9 billion for cybersecurity, raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour. Whether those last items, Brian, are a good policy idea or not, can you really say that they are part of emergency COVID relief?
Well, if you look at the core of this package, what it's doing is it's going at those core challenges. So about $400 billion in this package is going at the vaccination effort and getting schools reopened. Another portion, as you said, is to provide direct relief.
Brian, you'll get used to me interrupting. That's what I do on this show. I'm asking, though, about these specific parts, transit, $15 minimum wage. I understand some parts of it clearly are COVID relief, but why add this stuff to the bill?
Sure. Well, let's look at each of those. The cybersecurity resources there are in the wake of the SolarWinds hack. We have seen and now understand significant vulnerabilities that are exacerbated by COVID and the fact that so much federal operations are happening online. We need those resources to secure our systems now. Transit, look, our transit systems across the country are facing acute crisis. That's not happening in Democratic states or Republican states. That's happening around the country. And by providing relief now, we can help to avoid diminished service and diminished support when we come out of this crisis. And the $15 minimum wage is a concrete and direct way to help support those workers who are out there on the front lines right now, providing services to all of us, and give them direct support and a direct boost right now.
So Wallace basically said, look, Brian, why are all these things not directly related, at least on their face, not related to COVID-19? Why are these things in Biden's stimulus plan? Deese basically attempts to connect all the things that Wallace brought up to COVID-19. Some of them might be a stretch, but Wallace was satisfied enough with his answer to move on and discuss whether or not Deese believes that enough Republicans would get on board here in order to pass Biden's ambitious stimulus goals. Here's that clip.
Then there's the timetable for passing this COVID relief package. Here is President-elect Biden this week. Take a look.
The crisis of deep human suffering is in plain sight, and there's no time to waste. We have to act, and we have to act now.
Plan A is to get this package through the Senate with 60 votes to beat a filibuster. But you had Republican senators under President Trump who were refusing to go over $1 trillion. They ended up passing $900 billion. Do you really expect 10 Republican senators to sign on to another $2 trillion?
Well, I do want to start with reinforcing the urgency point that you raised. You looked just over the weekend, an independent firm, Moody's, showed that if we act immediately, this plan and put it in place, the economy could create 7.5 million jobs this year. That's the kind of robust recovery that we need. And if you look at the components of the plan, you mentioned the $1,400 checks. We've seen broad bipartisan support from that, including Republican senators. You look at other elements of the plan, like an expanded child tax credit, something that Republican senators have supported in the past. And if you look at the vaccination efforts and the school efforts here, we've been talking to governors and mayors across the country, including Governor Hutchinson, who was just on, Republicans and Democrats, who say we absolutely need to try to surge support in this critical period of the next couple months to get the virus under control, to get those schools open, help parents get back to work, particularly women who are facing a disproportionate hit here. I think there's a lot of support for taking these actions. So we see every reason why Congress should move out and should move out in a bipartisan way.
Personally, I think that Deese is being a little too optimistic here when it comes to how many Republicans are going to support Biden's stimulus plan, right? He said that for $1,400 stimulus checks, that we've seen broad bipartisan support for that, including Republican senators. I wouldn't call a handful of Republican senators qualifying for broad bipartisan support, but Deese is for now sticking to the narrative that Biden wants to work in a bipartisan way with Republicans. And that leads to Walz's next question concerning eliminating the filibuster. Here's that clip.
President-elect Biden has kept open the possibility of ending the filibuster if Republicans were to block you. You have 50 votes. But you need 60 to break a filibuster. If they block you, would ending the filibuster, so you could pass it with 51 votes with Vice President Harris, would ending the filibuster be on the table?
Well, look, we think we need to move quickly here. But I would also say, you know, there's a lot of skepticism that the president-elect's call for unity and working together was going to resonate, and he won the election resoundingly. There was a lot of skepticism that Congress would come together in December in a bipartisan way and deliver a down payment on this relief, and that happened. So let's see where we can get here. There is a lot of, a lot of elements of this plan that have support across the board, both in Washington and in state capitals and around the country. But we need to act. We need to act quickly. And that's what the economy is telling us. That's what the experts are telling us. And so that's our priority.
So Deese basically avoids the question of whether the Biden White House would support ending the filibuster, right? He doesn't even say the word filibuster. He comes back to the theme of unity on Capitol Hill that we've heard from Biden himself. So at this point, the Biden team, they aren't taking off the kid gloves, so to speak, with Republicans. They want to work with them. And Deese, like I said, he didn't even say the word filibuster here in response to Walz's question about the filibuster. So if Deese's evasiveness here is indicative of the Biden administration's positioning, ending the filibuster seems to be too hot of an issue right now, too potentially divisive for Biden to even want to address that, going that route in the early weeks of his administration. The focus now is simply on Plan A. See how well Biden can do in cutting deals across the aisle with Republicans. Then Walz asked Deese about how the Senate will split its time between the impeachment, the trial of Donald Trump, and everything that needs to get done for the people in the early weeks of the Biden administration. Here's that clip.
Then, speaking of acting quickly, there's the Senate trial of Donald Trump. I know the hope is to work out a deal where Congress, the Senate, can work on a dual track, spend part of the day on business, like the COVID relief package, Senate confirmations, and then part of the day on the trial. If you can't get that kind of a deal, if the decision is you're going to go ahead and do nothing but the trial until you finish it, would there be some interest on the part of President-elect Biden to delay the trial, get some of the work done before Nancy Pelosi sends over the articles of impeachment?
Well, look, we think there's every reason that we can move forward and address multiple issues. We do have multiple crises. We have a lot of pressing business facing the country. And so certainly we understand and expect that the Senate is going to act on its constitutional duty. But as you mentioned, there is precedent for the Senate moving forward in the impeachment hearings while at the same time holding hearings, operating other business. There's precedent historically and even recently in the first impeachment trial. So that's going to be our focus, is trying to get an agreement and a structure that will allow that to happen. And we're able to move out on these multiple fronts and make progress on these multiple priorities.
So it sounds like, as we discussed last week, that the Biden team wants to see the Senate trial of Donald Trump happen concurrently with stimulus, as well as with the confirmation hearings for Biden's cabinet nominees and other nominees. So it looks like at this point, Biden really wants to present himself as a unifier. He doesn't want to come out at this point swinging. What do you think about this? Do you think this is the right approach for the Biden administration here? Or do you think he should start his administration playing a little more hardball with the GOP, especially given the negative press that Republicans have gotten in recent weeks from obvious events? Let me know in the comments what you think, and I will see you in the next video. Bye-bye.